that when they started developing the hilltop, and my father-in-law owned some property, and Fred helped them, what do they call them? The surveyors. Mm-hmm. He helped survey the hilltop. That's why he was given a piece of land. My in-laws, my brother and sister-in-laws, they thought I was crazy coming to a hilltop. They said, you're going to sink into the coal mine.
Oh.
There was all those rumors. Mm-hmm. But see, it's nobody. And the minute my father-in-law died, he died in 1947, he was building his house right below mine. Mm-hmm. All the boys decided to come to the hilltop. So they're all on this hilltop.
Really? How many were there?
There were 6 boys and 4 girls.
Mm.
Family of 10. So we've had no problems on this hilltop. It's been a good hilltop.
Good.
It's been good. Only I didn't think I had enough land, and now that I'm sick and I'm old and I can't cut my grass,
yeah,
and you can't cut your shrubbery. There's 20 feet between me and the neighbor. When those people built, I took a fit.
Mm-hmm.
What I put my poor husband through is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
He's, but Karina, you have 20 feet, and I thought 20, now I can't even go and cut grass. Like I said, it's a shame we don't have any of those stores that we used to have.
Did you ever have stores at this hill area?
No, not up here. But there was a knockdown on West 7th that made it nice.
You walk up and down the hill?
Yeah.
How do you shop now?
Do you know that for 2 Christmases, I haven't been into one shop to see the Christmas decorations or anything? We go to the supermarket. Franny drives. She's not feeling well, but she manages. And we either go across the bridge to go to Giant Eagle, if we have to go to Farmore, or we go to the Heights. Franny does not believe in going from shop to shop. And you can't blame her.
Yeah. Well, you and your sister were born with the midwife. How about when you had your children?
They were born in my house, but I had a doctor. I had a doctor. God, it was Grand Central Station when my son was born. I had my grandmother, my mother, my aunt next door. Oh, and the doctor coming in and out. It's funny. And they don't believe it. Then I had Molly at home. They're only 16 months apart. And in those days, Dr. Hummel would come to the house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 7 years between Jimmy and Molly. And by then, the Hummels were gone. And Dr. Root kept saying to me, I'm not coming to the house.
Hmm.
And I wouldn't go to the hospital. You know, when you think how dumb we were, I had to go because he wouldn't come to the house.
Oh.
I had to go. And I found myself crying. I don't know what to do. It's been so long. I can't remember. Because at home it was different. All I gave you was a sheet. You know, they rolled it and tied the sheet in the bottom of your bed. And that's all you had to pull on. You didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm. No, I've never saw Bertha at home or in the
hospital. Oh, okay.
Where did you send your children to school?
Well, I went to a public school. I was all for public school.
Uh-huh. Did you go to that Third Ward school?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. I went to Third Ward. And what is on top of the hill now, that's called Grandview Elementary,
mm-hmm,
was our high school.
High school.
It was Trenton High School then, before the merger. But my Freddie and my husband and my children had become, not my children, my in-laws, my brothers and sister-in-laws, became acquainted with a father, God, he's dead, Father Brennan.
Yeah, heard.
He was in Ackerman's days. And he thought I should send my children to Sacred Heart. Well, I wasn't too happy about it, you know. But he said, oh, Corina, you'll be happy. So my children, we had to pay a tuition. I had to pay a tuition to send my children to Sacred Heart.
Because you weren't parishioners.
I wasn't a parishioner of Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pay a tuition. But no problems. I mean, the children were happy. Some sisters made terrific teachers. Some sisters didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get upset, especially when Jimmy was going to school. I would say, nobody forced you to be a teacher. And if you can't put up with them, then give it up.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought the nuns were somebody, you know. God, like Anastasia, Paraclete. The nuns that took care of my first two, basically, they got the basics of religion. Mm-hmm. But it seemed when Jimmy got there, of course he was a bad boy. By bad boy, he's mischievous. But if the nuns needed anything, who do they call? It was my Jimmy. So we sent him to a military school for 2 years. And guess where he went the first day home in uniform? He went to the nuns.
Did he?
So, you know, it couldn't have been all that bad.
That's right.
You know, he used to call them the Black Widows and whatnot. They tell stories about he used to put a hat and a scarf around the Madonna. And I don't know how he used to get up to that statue. But, yeah, and I always say it was on account of Father Brennan that I sent my three children to Catholic school. Then they went to high school. Like I said, Jimmy went to military school for 2 years, but Fred went to high school to Creighton. Molly went to Creighton. That was before the merger.
Before.
It was East Deer then. Now it's Deer Lakes. Because, I'm in Creighton. I'm not in Trenum.
Mm-hmm.
Once you pass Florence Street, mm-hmm. you're in Creighton.
So you mm-hmm. couldn't send them to the Tarentum High School?
No, I had to send them to East Deer, mm-hmm. which was close, mm-hmm. you know.
Then were they able to stay around here? Do they live around here?
Molly lives within walking distance of me. Ah. Molly's married and has two children, a boy and a girl, and three grandchildren, which make them my great-grandchildren. Yeah. The little one never went to college. Fred went to college, but the shop wouldn't hire him because they didn't know what to pay a college boy, so he was in management.
Where?
And he went to work for the Aetna Life Insurance Company, mm-hmm. and for 17 years he traveled. He traveled to 14 different states. Mm-hmm. He raised his kids like gypsies. They're in St. Louis now. He had to take an early retirement from the Aetna. That's where these insurance companies are, you know. Once we thought he was stable, you know, but he's working for another company, and he's doing all right. So Fred's not here. Fred hasn't been around. But Jimmy stuck around, and Molly's around.
What kind of work did Jimmy do?
Well, he's down in structural steel down in Springdale. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law had a peculiar idea that the shop was just for the boys, but the young people, they split up now. It's not one company anymore.
Oh.
See, it's all split up.
Did your husband work in the family company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the oldest of the six boys. Oh. They all worked down there, all of them. All the girls and all the boys.
Now, what kind of a business is it?
Well, it started out with just scrap iron. Mm-hmm. And then it started in with structural steel. Then they built that overhang, you know, with the presses. They sell to plants. They sort the metals out, and then they press it into bundles, and they sell to the steel mills. And then they were in the iron, ornamental iron, but they gave that up. And I guess they made a living out of it, you know. But it's still down here on West 8th Avenue.
Yeah, I pass it a lot when I come. When you got married, it was the Depression.
Oh, yeah.
And then were you affected?
Oh, God, yeah. I lived with my mother because we couldn't afford an apartment. The boys made $15 a week. But one thing about my father-in-law, if the grocery bill got too high, he took care of it. Mm-hmm. If you had to take the children to the doctors, and how could you pay the doctors? Then he would take care of it. But that's the way he built his business, by just giving the boys $15 a week. And you had to go. They lived down by the river. In those days, it was called a big house with a lot of ground. Along the riverbank, they lived. Everybody knew where Grieco's lived. And you went down, crossed the railroad track, and you circled around. They had a big driveway. But you never starved. You always had food on the table, but sometimes it was hard. You didn't have two nickels to rub together. Mm-hmm. But that was all right. They thought I married a millionaire, and I let them believe it. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that? life.
Where did your kids play then when they were growing up?
Well, they played kick football. They'd wrap stuffing around the socks. You know, they'd get old socks and make a ball out of them. They used to either come up here. I made them join the Y because Father DeVell, in those days, you were not allowed to join the YMCA. There was a discrimination between the Catholics and, my Lord. And my Freddie, my husband, they all learned to swim down the river. I never learned to swim because I wasn't allowed to go to the river. Mm-hmm. But Fred was busy working. And these kids wanted to learn to swim. So the few of the mothers got together. They said, you got the tongue. You can talk. Go see Father DeVall. Oh, what a time I had with Father DeVall. But I out-talked him. I out-talked him. I said, you know, I don't swim. Their grandmother lives down by the river. Fred's busy working 16, 18 hours a day because he'd deliver the steel. In those days, you delivered steel, you know. And I said, what am I going to... So he made me promise that if my children joined the Y, because my father-in-law paid for it, you know, that they weren't allowed to attend the Bible classes. They weren't allowed to... Oh, God, the restrictions. And I agreed, but... They had a nice... My children were raised at the Y, and they learned some good things, too, at the Y. And then, one by one, all the families of St. Peter's joined the Y. Because, see, what did Father DeVall do? He gave Karina permission. The Gaces always say, boy, it took guts on your part. The Gace family had a bunch of kids, and they were good Catholics. Anna Mae was over there. She lived in that church. But that's where the children learned their basketball. Because, you know, they you always knew where to find them. They'd be at the Y. Mm-hmm. You know, then they played baseball, Legion baseball. And you have to keep them off the streets. You had to do something with them. That's where they learned to swim. Learned to play basketball. Learned to get together, you know. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, things that then they said you wasn't allowed to believe in. Now they tell you that the Catholic religion is all wrong. My Jimmy gets so upset, my youngest boy, who is 51. He says, you know, everything them nuns taught me is wrong. They used to say that everything was a mortal sin, you know. And it was a shame they put that fear in them. He says, you talk to priests today. It's sad. It's sad.
Kids learned some stuff, and they learned it. Everything was black or white.
Yeah, that's hard. There was no in between.
Life
now, you see, my Freddie and Molly's different. There's nuns. They must have had a different view on life.
Yeah.
You know.
Or maybe Freddie and Molly are different. Maybe they take things...
I don't know.
I know it's very hard for some people.
But then they say Catholic school is the best. I don't know. Jimmy didn't get the foundation that Freddie and Molly got.
In faith or in...
In both. I must say in both.
Really?
I must say in both. Mm. Now, he has faith. I mean, he... I don't know. I may be wrong. I feel in this world, you can't push people into Catholicism. You can't do it. You couldn't change me... If my life depended on it, you're not going to change me. I'm not going to argue with you. See, I don't argue religion. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with my faith. I can't explain to you why, but I'm comfortable with my faith. Like I said before, I go to church not for the pastor, not for the lady that's next to me. I go to church and I'm comfortable, you know. And I'm a firm believer in prayers. I'm a firm believer that the dead know what's going on here because I talk to my mother and my dad and my husband, you know. But Jimmy, he had strayed away a little bit. Mm-hmm. But with me believing, I think that we're all going to the same place. We all believe the same thing. We believe it in different things. So he's made some friends with a pastor who is evangelical. How do you say it?
Evangelical.
Okay. And I met him. I met Pastor John. Mm-hmm. And the way he talks, God love him. God gave him a special gift. And I said, hey, Jim, are you comfortable? Father Grosco knows it. He likes Father Grosco. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that upsets him about priests. Upsets him. what are you going to do?
I can understand that.
You know. Then Franny is such a religious person. When the young, my grandchildren were all altar boys. They all went to catechism. Now they date and they marry non-Catholics. And she'll say, well, did you go to church? And they'd get so mad at her, you know. I said, Franny, let them alone. Let them alone because you can't make them. So now gradually, they're coming back, gradually. I said to Father Groska, if you have enough patience, maybe you'll get them all back. I don't know.
Do is pray for them.
That's it.
You gave them
That's
what
it.
You have
That's
to
it.
Give them.
That's it. And my door is always open. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things in life, but I'm their mother, and I never wanted them, and even their dad was that way. I never wanted them to think they couldn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
Fred had a car during my children's early lives. They were busy with cheerleaders and with, the balls and stuff. Sometimes, you know, Fred would drop them off, then he'd say, now, if you don't have a way home, call.
Uh-huh.
One thing about Freddie, no matter when they would call, or if somebody wanted to go out and do something that they knew, that, you know, hang around sometimes in places where they gave drinks or hang around, I was always worried about drugs. But they always knew that no matter what time it was, all they had to do was call. And Fred would get out of bed and go get them. And he'd take them home or somebody else home. I never wanted the children to feel, you know, that they'd be afraid to come home.
Mm-hmm.
My son, he had his aunt's car. And he must have been speeding. He had to be speeding. He got caught and thrown into jail. Because they can get boisterous. They can, you know. So, but no problem. They were allowed to make a call. And he called his dad. He said, I'm in jail. And I guess that went to his favor, too, because once he realized that fun time was over.
Yeah.
But his dad went, and fine.
Mm-hmm.
Molly would be out with, you know, the cheerleaders, and she'd be out with majorettes. They'd decide they wanted to go to somebody's birthday party, which is fine. Then things would get, you know, well, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to go have a few beers, and, you know, and they would say no. Not that they were angels. But then, well, how you gonna? We're not gonna take you home. All she had to do was call her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they talk about they're married today and they have kids. They talk about their kids' life. They had a good life.
Mm-hmm.
They were brought up with love. They were brought up with there was always food on the table, and they were brought up that no matter where they were, their father would go and get them.
I'm interested in your daughter's name because I always connect Molly as an Irish name.
Yes, yes, yes. She was named after my sister-in-law, Molly, but Molly was not baptized. She was baptized Amalia.
Ah.
And the Italians, instead of saying Amalia, would say Molly, you know. I had my daughter, didn't know what to name her, and I loved my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you know, I was baptized Amalia. I said, no. I didn't want no Amalia, no Amelia, no nothing. You know, I wanted Molly.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Father Brendan, was still living. In fact, Molly was his first christening when he came to our parish for St. Peter's. And I said, so we baptized her Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, Maria.
Uh-huh.
Molly, Maria. And I said, how did you name her Molly? How did you get away with it? I said, Father Brennan, when we baptized her, she was Molly, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept up the name Molly.
That's a pretty name.
Mm-hmm. I followed anything that they wanted me to go to, I went to.
Wow.
I went with the, what is it, PTA?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't drive, but you know, I was nice enough. Somebody always picked me up because Fred would be working. But I was involved with the children. I was involved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the type that would say, well, I don't know what goes on. You know, I knew all the activities they were in. I knew all their friends. I knew, you know, I knew their... the backgrounds, and some of them you didn't approve of, but when my oldest son was a football player, curfew was 10 o'clock, and there were some bad boys in Creighton.
Was that your family curfew or Creighton's?
No, Creighton's curfew for football players,
oh.
For football players. I was always brought up to say, my father-in-law used to say, there's no bad boys in this world.
Mm-hmm.
you know. So rather than having this football team, because, you know, they have to do something after practice, they would come down to my cellar, play cards, and I would either make them pizza or, you know, I always had there. The Italians always have something to eat. They didn't gamble. They didn't drink in my house, you know. They'd have a ball. The coaches would call, and they'd say, well, you have so-and-so there. You shouldn't have him in your house. I'd say, why? He's a perfect gentleman with me. I still talk about him today. And whenever I see anybody in Creighton, I'll ask about him. Mm-hmm. I said, why should I not let him come to my house? He plays football with my son. He wasn't a Catholic, but he was a good football player because Freddie was the one who used to run with the ball, and Pickles, you know, protected him. He'd tackle for him, he'd, you know. And I said, why? I said, he walks into my house. It's, hello, Mrs. Greco. Perfect gentleman. No foul language, and I wasn't saying that just to be smart. And I said, he's perfect. That they didn't believe me. I said, well, you ought to come up some night. Just make a surprise visit and stay upstairs and listen. Because, you know, if you open my cellar door, you could hear them. Mm-hmm. They used to have a ball. 10 o'clock, I'd make sure they all got home by 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But my house was open to everybody. To the majorettes. They had dance lessons downstairs. You figured that's what they want to do. But maybe I'm lucky. They never did sneak in drinks or sneak in this, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'd have laughed at one time, the one coach, a sub-coach or an extra coach. He says, oh, they're all up at Greco's. He says, they have television. They have this. I didn't even have it. We lived in this house 6 months, and we did not have a television. And here they were saying that that's why the boys were comfortable here. Not true. They were comfortable because they could be themselves downstairs. They played a little cards. They'd tell jokes, and you'd hear them laughing. It would do my heart good. And I always treated them with something. They'd have a spaghetti dinner once a year, and then we'd invite all the coaches. They'd say, why do you do it? I said, well, I do it because the boys were good. I'd done that for 4 years.
Oh, you held the spaghetti
dinner? Yeah, I'd sell it for them. And the coach would come in, you know. Uh-huh. And I didn't want them separating them. You know, the bad boys were I didn't want that. Uh-huh. To me, they were all my son's friends. And Jimmy, the youngest one that I told you, he had no interest in football whatsoever. Mm. No interest in baseball, no interest.
What did he do?
He was just a little devil. He loved cars. He just, you know. But he ended up to be a nice boy. Okay. That's it. Okay. I don't know.
You know what? I have one more note to ask you about. I'm so impressed that you're... Here was your mother. Her husband died. She had two small children. Yeah. And she didn't even speak English. How did she make it?
She made it making sausage, sewing clothes, doing people's laundry, babysitting. Mm. She was terrific with flowers, terrific. But the florists all wanted her. The dress shops wanted her for alterations. But how could she go? Like she said, I can't read the slip. You know, how could, you know, and she used to cry. She'd say, how can you? You could, she had her own way for mathematics when they would pay her, you know. It was odd, her mathematics. But she's, how could I go work for somebody? She'd have an order, you know, this skirt needs hemmed an inch or this. You know, how could you do it? Or if you take care of it, how are you going to mark it? That was terrible. That was terrible. See, in the little town that she came from, they changed it when her youngest brother was born. But nobody went to school. It wasn't compulsory. I have an aunt that's 97 years old. She's my mother's youngest. That's the only one left of that big family. And she cries, too, because she says she don't think it's fair. Now, when Mussolini got into the picture, they all said that Mussolini was no good. But he started out very good. He's the one that made every farmer send their children to school. And they couldn't get out of it. So that's why my youngest uncle, he got all the privileges of going to school. And the girls tried, when he'd bring his books in at home, they tried, but they wanted to memorize things, you know. Mm-hmm. My mother was good at memorizing. Oh, this is cute. And this has nothing to do with West Trenum. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law and father-in-law, once a year they'd go on vacations and that. And my father-in-law couldn't stay the whole week, so he would drive home, either Cape May or someplace. He'd say to my mother, get ready. The twins is going to take you so you can keep Maria company. Maria was his wife. So my mother and mother-in-law became very close. When my father-in-law died, that left my mother-in-law kind of alone. My mother-in-law could read and write, but my mother-in-law didn't have the guts my mother had. So they would go on vacations together. They would either take a train to Florida, or then later on they got brave enough that they would fly. My mother would always say that she didn't have her glasses and she couldn't read the menu at the restaurant, you know. And she'd say, oh, I forgot my glasses. And she'd say, my friend will read me the menu. So Mangrico would do the reading, and they would order, you know. The bill would come. My mother-in-law would tell my mother how much they owed, and my mother would pay the bills. Big shots, you know, she knew. But it's odd. It's odd. And then my mother-in-law would be afraid to go, like, to church or to go somewhere. And my mother knew she'd memorize the ways to get there. And so they'd go to church, and they'd go to restaurants. They'd go to bingo. They'd go to auctions. They would walk from the hotel. Everything was right there, you know. Became friends with Jewish people, but my mother was a good bluffer. My mother-in-law would say to me, I don't know what I'd do without your mother. Because, poor soul, she'd be afraid, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder how your mother got to know that Mrs. Fishkin, who helped her with the wedding dress.
Because she had the clothing shop, you know. And my mother would look at the dresses, and that's how she would sew, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mrs. Fishkin was great. She ordered my mother's veil. She had a pretty dress.
Did you see the dress?
It got all apart. I have to show you a picture that she took 6 months after the wedding. I'll bring it down. But her dress rotted.
So this is their picture.
Huh? Oh. Isn't that pretty? Oh. And then I had this one made from that. This is the only picture I have of my dad. He had chestnut colored hair. And Jimmy has mustache a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a beautiful dress?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
beautiful.
Pretty veil and her purse.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful to have that.
I don't know which of the kids I want to give it to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's her. They say I look like her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
see, that was my husband.
Ah, uh-huh.
And that's my father-in-law. And I should have a picture of my mother-in-law, because she was a doll. She was a doll. It was nice. I'm sorry I didn't help you out with West Trenum.
You did. You did. You told me all about people of West Trenum. That's what I need to know, and what they did.
See, I can't think of that huckster for the fruit. Mm-hmm. Now, I know if I tell somebody, they'll remember his name. And I remember Dr. Borson from West Trenum. Because he went to school with my Freddie in high school. And before he went to medical school, he used to be the Iceman.
Oh.
Can you remember a bunch of little kids following the ice truck whenever they would deliver the big cubes of ice to mm-hmm. your ice box? We never had one. But that was my first experience with ice. We didn't have an ice box.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew Dr. Borson and his ice.
And I will write the story you told about your mother getting to church.
Yes, yes, that, like I said, it took Mary, and I often wonder, see, because the Mukris all passed away. The girl that was a little older than me, or maybe my age, she's in California. They tell me she's still living. I'd love to know if this nun is still living.
What was her name?
Mary Mukri.
And how do you spell that last name?
Mukri, I don't know, M-O-K. E-R-Y, or would it be A-R-Y? They were from St. Clements, Mukri.
I don't know. She might have been a Franciscan sister. A lot of people of St. Clements who became sisters mm-hmm. went to the Franciscan community mm-hmm. in Bellevue because they were Slovak mm-hmm. and they taught in the school.
See, the Durkuses, or they used to call them Durkach, they were from West Trenum. Isn't it funny how the names, they just for a minute, they were... There was the Christophics. They were for St. Clements. There was the Polish names for the Is it Pavlik?
I've heard that name.
Pavlik's. Mm-hmm. Peckney's. The Muirs, M-U-R-A-R. Because they were all surrounding us. Then we had a German family. It was wonderful. Heusers. They were from Sacred Heart, you know. And they were very nice. A lot of Polish people down that street. Some of them are still around. Some of them aren't, you know. But it was nice. It, like I said before, I used the word a melting pot. It was a melting pot. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a bunch of people that, you know, that don't read and write, they probably didn't know too much of the language, and yet they got along. They understood each other. There was a little butcher shop on 9th Avenue, and then there was one right below on 7th Avenue, but they all managed to buy, and you know, they, when they talked about meat and that, it was 10 cents or 15 cents or a quarter, and I mean, that was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. Talking about the three living together, my uncle, who was a barber, he'd done very well in life, but this is his mere beginnings. He came from Rome. He was a barber, and if you didn't take your children to the barber shop, then he would come to your house. You know, they'd make an appointment. Then you didn't pay him. Maybe he would cut all the kids' hair and cut the mister's hair, you know, because the mothers never got haircuts. And then they didn't have money to pay you, so she would, my mother, when they'd get down to Grieco's, she would either give them a chicken or she'd have a bunch of vegetables. That's how they got paid. They didn't get paid by money. But my father wasn't working. My uncle wasn't working. And I've told that story so many times. They tried the coal mine, but my dad used to have claustrophobia in the coal mine. And my uncle used to say, well, don't worry. So my uncle worked at the shop, I guess where he got paid. And then he would make all these house calls. So every night he brought home something to eat. And then every Friday, the money that he had, he would put it on the kitchen table and make three piles out of it. It would be a pile for my dad, a pile for my uncle, and a pile for him. Because the food that he brought in, they all ate together. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine three sister-in-laws in the kitchen with kids eating all together? They always managed. They took their turns cooking this, you know. And you tell people that today, they don't believe you. But how many men do you get, you know?
So was he one of your sister-in-laws? No, I'm not sure.
No. It would be my uncle.
Uh-huh.
It was my father's brother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Because, see, when my father got married, he brought his wife to live with his two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were both married. Mm-hmm. See, one was a Levi, L-I-T-I, and the other one was a Quinio. A bushel of kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew how to comfort one another. They knew, you know, you never went hungry,
mm-hmm.
and there was nowhere to go. Where would you go? They didn't have theaters in there. I was at a function in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, and they were talking about the silent movies. Well, by the time I got to the silent movies, you know, I was already pretty big. And I remember on West 7th Avenue, they had a piano out front, and you had the silent movie, and this piano player playing If There Was Horses Were Trotting, you know. And this lady was saying, oh, I remember the popcorn, and I remember this and that. I said to her, what are you talking about? And then I thought maybe I was wrong. So I came home and made two calls. I said, now maybe I'm nuts. I said, but I had a hell of an argument with some lady talking about popcorn. And I said to Gigi, he says, you're not wrong. He said, you're right. There was no popcorn in those days. Now, that's when I was a kid, 3 or 4 years old, you know, 5 years old. You know, you'd go to this little movie, and I remember, I think it was 10 cents to go to the movies, and you got a dish. You know, you got a dish. Every time you went to the movies, you got a dish.
What kind of dish?
A china dish of some kind, or a plastic glass or something. That was the come-ons that get you to go, you know. But here she was bragging about the popcorn in the olden. I said to her, my God, I said, you know, I'm going back farther than you. There was no popcorn. There was no popcorn. There was nothing to drink. There was no beer in those days because that was before the beer came out. So that was still prohibition. There was no pop, you know. Then later on, the little beer gardens got up after they They brought the liquor back, you know. Mm-hmm. But what an argument over popcorn.
Did you convince her?
Well, sure then I convinced her. The next time I saw her, I said, I'll give you proof. Then she said, well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know what she was thinking of. Maybe she did have a lot of fun with her popcorn, but that was later on in years.
Yeah.
And I can remember seeing the movie, because we didn't go to the movies that much. Not one word would be spoken. Silent movies.
Mm. Here in Toronto.
Yeah, right down, little theater down 7th Avenue. Mm. We had everything on 7th Avenue. I'll tell you, anything that you needed, you had on 7th Avenue.
Someone told me when she was a kid and she went to the movies in Toronto, there were certain places where the black kids sat and certain places where the white kids sat.
Well, we could never afford to go to Trenum. I'm talking about West Trenum. You know what I mean? I couldn't afford to go to East Trenum. I went to high school for 4 years up there, never went to the Greeks. And it was a little place that sold ice cream and had little booths where you could for, but we didn't have the money, and it never bothered me. It never bothered me. I was friends with everybody on East Trenum, you know, because they used to say the East Trenum was the snobs and West Trenum was the hicks, you know. Got along beautiful with them. No hard feelings. They'd all go to the Greeks. They'd all go to football games, and I never went because the money wasn't there, and I didn't want anybody to feel sorry for me. You know. So now maybe who told you that might have been up in East Trenum, because they had two theaters up there. They had the one on the, going up the hill before you got to where the post office is. They used to have a balcony. It used to have, you know, two different prices, but I never went. And then they had the one down below where there's a liquor store or something. There used to be, but there's no more. Hmm. They were beautiful theaters. Beautiful. Then we had a dancing. They call it the Oppenheimer's Dancing. And I never went. And it didn't bother me. My first football game is when I started to date Fred. You know, it, we were brought up, you know, and I had more fun. Because I take care of all my class reunions. I had more fun in school, and yet I didn't loaf with them. I didn't attend the sports. I didn't go down with the Greeks was a place where everybody hung out, you know, for a soda, an ice cream, you know. Didn't go to the movies, you know, but I didn't. And it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me. We went to the prom. You tell the kids today, they think you're nuts. Who could afford to take a girl to the prom? You have to buy her flowers and this and that. So the girls would go alone, would walk, and the boys would come in later. So nobody owed anybody. So we didn't have any corsages or nothing. We had gowns. We went to the prom. We danced. The boys danced. And then after the dance, the kids went somewhere. I don't know where they went. It doesn't make any difference. The girls all walked home. We used to walk home from Trenum High School because there were no buses then to take you like nothing. Everything's bused.
Did you walk home for lunch?
Twice a day. You'd come home for lunch, and then you'd come home in the evening, you know. Mm-hmm. And your mama would always have lunch ready for us. We must have had maybe an hour. I don't know whether we had an hour. But we'd come home, lunch would be ready, and, you know, you'd go to the bathroom, freshen up, and go back. Mm-hmm. I remember the galoshes. You can't remember galoshes.
Yeah, I do remember.
Remember the galoshes? Yeah. Oh, God, and when they got rusty, you couldn't work with them? Because our winters were bad. So we don't have the bad winters now that we had then.
Well, you didn't have that busy street to cross.
At Ross Street? No, yeah. No, it's not like now, no. Because we'd leave West Trenum, you know, you go down one of the streets, go up 7th Avenue, past the creek, then go up Ross Street. There wasn't the traffic that there's today. But everybody walked to school. No cafeterias in those days, you know. It was late before they got a trolley in Brackenridge. But as a youngster, there wasn't. You know, today you call up, they'll deliver.
Yeah.
But in those days, no one would deliver.
Did some of your classmates go to the war?
Oh, yes.
Anybody in your family go?
Well, my son was in the Korean War, but my in-laws, were in the, when they were fighting between Germany and Czechoslovakia. They were in Europe.
World War II.
Yeah,
probably.
They were over there because the twins met in Europe. They used to always talk about, Bob used to talk about the, what's that song about the river? Frances was in love, she, that river, she's in Germany, there's a river.
The Danube, the Blue Danube. Yeah.
Well, and Bob would never tell her, you know. So when Frances, her first chance that she got to go to Germany for 2 weeks, she said to Bob, now she said, I want to see that Blue Danube. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just a trickle of water, a little creek. Bob said he never wanted to hurt her illusions. You know, every time she heard the song or the Blue Danube, you know, it was just a trickle of water. He said it was just a little creek.
Yeah. I always thought it was a river. Wide, beautiful river.
Yeah, because see, we're near the Allegheny, yeah. So Frances thought, you know, it's just a trickle of water. Look, it's like a little creek out of Bull Creek there, you know. But Bob said, I wasn't going to disillusion you, you know. It's funny. But Bob was in a service, Raymond was in a service, that's my brother-in-law's. Joe was in a service. Fred was the oldest, he never... got drafted. I guess it would have been hard for the sixth one to go. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, they all came back. Mm-hmm. Raymond was missing in action for a while. Then we got rumors that he was dead. Then we got rumors that he had lost an arm. And here he was in one of the hospitals in England. But they reattached his arm. And so he come home with his arm, you know. And cousins, you know, when you've got a big family, you have a lot of cousins.
I don't think I
don't think I was that much help to you.
Oh, I think you were. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh. Sister, can I get you a cup of coffee? Can I get you some juice? I have apple juice.
This is a tape for the Oral History Project, Voices of Faith, Years of Change. The narrator was Karina Greco. The interviewer was Sister Sally Witt. We were at Mrs. Greco's home at 523 West 9th Avenue in Tarentum, on June 5th, 1995. 9th Avenue in Tarentum.